It is Wendy Snyder here in for John Hansen. And all right, let's get ready for our next guest. I don't like to do this whole, you know, we're women, we're not treated the same way as men, but we are women and we're not treated the same way as men. Stephanie O'Connell joins us right now, author of The Ambition Penalty, How Corporate Culture Tells Women to Step Up and Then Kind of Pushes Them Down. Is that right, Stephanie?
That is right. Thank you for having me, Wendy.
Absolutely. Now, I know you've been on Your Money Matters before, and I was reading in Glamour magazine something about the ambition gap. First and foremost, what is the ambition gap? And then we'll talk about the ambition penalty.
Yeah, the ambition gap is basically this story we have been told about why women struggle to access equitable pay, equitable leadership, equitable power. There's a story that women just aren't as interested in getting ahead, that they prefer to scale back their careers when they become parents, for example, or that they're not confident enough, that they don't ask for raises, they don't assert themselves enough, they don't have enough ambition. And that's the reason they're underpaid and underrepresented. And what I found in my reporting for this book was that there was no lack of ambition. There was no lack of confidence. There was no lack of interest among the women I interviewed and spoke to and, you know, showing up in the research in terms of statistically significant patterns. What there was a penalty against women who asserted their ambition and their assertiveness and their confidence in the same way that their male peers could reliably do to get ahead. And so what I really challenge is the story that women lack ambition and instead expose a kind of double standard where men's ambition is rewarded with more opportunity, more promotions, more pay. And women's ambition is more likely to be seen as problematic, bossy, selfish, and ways that really interrupt their progression.
See, that is what is frustrating to me. I lost my dad when I was 10. So my mom was always like, you know, fighting for us, and she was very strong, and that's what I learned. And yeah. Why is it that when a man pushes for something he wants, oh, he is successful, but a woman pushes for what she wants and she's called the B word a lot of times?
That's exactly it. You know, so often there are these double standards that even in 2026, you think like, I can't believe this can still be an issue. And yet every woman probably has a story of this happening to her where she engages in the exact same behavior. And we see this in research too, where you can present the same resume and just change the name on it. And the response to being very ambitious, having a lot of success, suddenly becomes, you know, she might not be a great fit. She might not be a team player. Because what I think it really exposes is that as much as we think we have come so far, there are these underlying implicit biases that still dictate the way people think men and women should behave respectively. And there's more acceptance, certainly, of women in the workplace and having access to careers. But that acceptance is really conditional on women's labor being channeled into supporting the power of a male manager or a male leader. You know, we see, for example, in the data, there's huge numbers of women in the workplace today, more so even than men. We see women outpacing young men in college education. But as soon as you get past the entry level, as soon as you start working at management, leadership, positions of power, that's when a lot of these old underlying implicit stereotypes, where there's this idea that women should be deferential, always be deferring to a man's power, authority, leadership. And if they express their ambition and their assertiveness, they challenge that perception, and that triggers the backlash against them. And we have not reckoned with that in the way that I think I'm arguing in this book.
All right, Stephanie O'Connell on the line with us, author of the book we're speaking about, The Ambition Penalty, How Corporate Culture Tells Women to Step Up and Then Pushes Them Down. I want to read here, on average, women in the U.S. earn 82 cents and own just 32 cents for every dollar earned and owned by a man. And the disparities are even wider for women of color. Now, I am here to say this is not man-hating in any way, shape, or form, but there is a place in the workplace for men and women to do the same managerial jobs, right?
Absolutely. And one of the arguments I make in this book is that looking out for equity in workplaces across gender identity or any other identity, racial identity, across sexuality, is actually a net benefit for everyone. When women succeed at work, when they have equitable access, so do men. The things that make all of our lives more able to integrate personal and professional ambition more sustainably, what is needed for women is also needed for men. Things like parental leave, childcare, like these are things we all benefit from. In more egalitarian countries, there is higher GDP per capita. There is less income and wealth inequality across the board for men and women alike. There is less collective violence. There's longer healthy lifespans. So a lot of the message here is that if you create a workplace that works for women, you create a workplace that works better for everyone.
That's how it should be. I mean, it really should be that way. This book sounds great, Stephanie. So you mentioned the women in working situations. What about in the dating scene? Are women kind of being punished for making more money?
I'm glad you brought that up, Wendy. Like, I don't know how much you've been covering these headlines, but I'm sure everybody has heard that, like, people aren't getting married so much anymore. They're not having kids so much anymore. And I have to say that these dynamics where I'm talking about women who assert themselves and express their ambitions facing backlash and penalties and judgment is not exclusive to the working world. It's showing up in dating too. When women out-earn their male partners, they're more likely to be cheated on. They're more likely to face emotional abuse and more likely to face physical abuse in those relationships. And what we know from the data is that this is not something that happens. This is not like a selection issue where, you know, women who are career driven and make a lot of money are somehow fundamentally different from other women, because what triggers the backlash against them is their relative income as opposed to their absolute income. So as long as women make more money, relationship satisfaction increases and those women's well-being increases. It is only when they make more than half the household income that they start to face this backlash, which tells us it's not what women's success that triggers this. It's that the way men are responding to women's success that triggers this. And so I think, this kind of reframe we need to have of, like, we're all allowed to be fully human, ambitious and caring, men and women alike.
Yeah, absolutely. This sounds great. The ambition penalty, she's Stephanie O'Connell. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm sure John will have you on again for Your Money Matters. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Wendy. Have a good one.